Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it.
Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we are continuing our bonus episodes discussing with people their relationship experiences with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And today we have AEW wrestler, former FTW champion, I like to think once again, but absolute Ricky Starks. Thank you for joining us.
This is a perfect opportunity, Chris, to finally get to sit down and talk Kanye West music. I don't really get a chance to do that all that often. So this is great.
I know. It's one of the things I was most excited about when we started the podcast, because I knew in my like day-to-day life, nobody wanted to, like, I couldn't just be like, hey, do you want to talk Kanye music right now? None of my friends wanted to do that. And then starting the podcast, there's so many people that are like, yes, I would absolutely love to do that.
Yeah, this is a great chance. It's cool to me.
Yeah, I was excited when I found out that you were a Kanye fan, because I remember when I first saw you on AEW, I was just like, that guy seems cool. And then found out that you were, I think it was the skateboard stuff. Darby Allin, that's when you first came on, or what I first saw. And then and finding out you're a Kanye fan, I was like, I knew it.
It's funny. I used to, my theme song on the Independence were Touch the Sky. So I'm trying to remember if there was another song that I tried out coming out to by Kanye, but I think the very first one was Touch the Sky. And that just came from the fact that I had to watch the music video again for some reason. And then I had heard this song in like a movie, and I was like, that's such a, I'd never thought to think of that song as such that type of light.
Yeah.
And so I ended up using it as my theme song, and it kind of took off from there in terms of where I'll meet other Kanye West fans and say, oh, that's so crazy. And I tell them what my intro song is, and immediately start singing Touch the Sky.
And it just has that energy, like when the horns, like that, da, na, na, like, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's real stadium music, as he calls it.
Absolutely. And for what you do, that's perfect to get the crowd. Perfect.
Yeah.
Immediately up and at him. Also, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy 2010, were you a Kanye fan before that already? Like, were you anticipating the album?
Yes.
Okay.
But you know, I never really, because this is during that time period where Kanye is like always wearing suits and sunglasses from like the 60s. I'm hearing stories of him inviting people to, I think it was Hawaii?
Yeah.
It's where this was filmed at. So I kind of already built up this idea of what this album was going to be about in my head prior to like anything else. But I feel like that was such a cool period for Kanye, just because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Good Music on Fridays, that was around the same time period, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the build up, like his big return from like the post Taylor Swift stuff. Exile. Yeah, like end of 2009, mid 2010. I think it was like June or July the first song started coming out.
Yeah.
And just those weekly releases for 3 or 4 months were crazy.
Right. And I just remember being like, oh, this is about to be bigger than like a group project type thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just had that energy, that swelling energy to it.
Yes, yes. And very sophisticated and like real smooth sounding.
Yeah, I mean, some of those songs, I never heard anything like it up to that point, which might have just been me and what I was listening to. But I remember the first time hearing like The Devil in a New Dress, Good Fridays, or even something like Don't Look Down, Chain Heavy, the Power remix, had me so fucking hyped.
Hearing Power for the first time, I'll be honest with you, I didn't really care for Power at first.
I remember a tweet from December during our big like Kanye West song tournament deathmatch. It was like Power versus Can't Tell Me Nothing. And I remember seeing the tweet from you that was just like Power's overrated. And I was just like, yes. Damn.
Yeah. And I still feel that way, to be honest with you. You know why though? You know why? I think it's because I've heard it bastardized so much on commercials and like these terrible movie trailers. That every time I just hear it, every time I even hear the chanting of it, I go, oh God, here we go.
It's lost its like album appeal and just becomes part of like the mass like consumerism promotion. I just, somebody sent a video today of a college, I think it was like Brigham Young University, and like all the students were like linked arms and were like shuffling left and right together, doing the Power chants throughout the whole stadium. And it looked cool, but I was also just like, I wonder if this would break Kanye's spirit.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a song that's not that high on the list for me. And I will repeat it and stick to it as long as I live.
I get that. I've made a meme out of hating on Liftoff on Twitter.
You know, Liftoff is kind of catchy.
How dare you?
I really like Liftoff in a certain sense. Not a lot of songs I love from that album, but Liftoff is kind of catchy. And we go take it to the moon, take it to the spot.
Can't believe it.
Here's what I don't get. It's Beyonce.
I know.
If that doesn't catch you and hook you in, I'm so surprised.
I know. I like hearing it the first time, and then by the last time on the song, I'm just like,
okay, yeah.
It's so long. It's just so long each time. Okay, so I remember too, like, I remember when I was listening to your interview with Renee for Oral Sessions, you talked about being in New Orleans, growing up in New Orleans and Katrina. And I imagine like with Kanye calling out Bush at that time, were you a fan ahead of that? Was that kind of an intro to Kanye or something that did that impact your relationship with Ye's music at all?
I don't think it did so much. I do remember being like, hell yeah, what a cool dude. But not to the point where I was like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Really, the fandom with Kanye, with his music in general, really started, it was right before graduation for me. My brother would listen to Kanye for a very long time, and my brother would play music around me when I would get on Xbox and play Halo 2 online, things like that. So now I did hear his music, but for some reason graduation, like I sat down and fully listened through the whole thing. And from there I went digging, and my brother had sent me over this folder of Kanye West music that was like like these loose singles that he did from way back. Like I'm talking, there are some deep cuts in there. Like I remember Apologize being in this folder.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. That puts it into perspective.
Yeah. So it's just a bunch of these like different types of songs that I heard. And really Graduation was like the intro, especially just because I was living in Vegas at the time when that album came out. So it's kind of a soundtrack in a bit to like my teenage years.
Yeah, I get that. It was like stronger hit when I was in my junior year of college. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the anthem for that entire fall 2007, like early 2008, we were playing that all the time. But it was 808s and Heartbreak that I really like dove into becoming a fan of, like Kanye albums, Kanye, looking into who he is more, which made My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy like really the first album rollout that I paid attention to. I think for any artist, not just like Kanye, but I was never more like into checking out articles, looking for every Good Friday.
What about were you did you pretty much stay consistent with checking out the releases every Friday with those songs? And like, where did you get your music from?
At that time, I just returned. I lived in Australia for like a year and I came back and was kind of catching up with things and people and getting my feet under me again. So I was catching downloads. Like sometimes if I was just home on a Friday, Saturday, I'd be like checking. I remember a couple times I was like refreshing a lot, but for the most part, I was catching them after they dropped or like checking Monday, because sometimes they weren't even releasing on Friday.
Yeah.
So, but I remember that it was strange because I had always been downloading things from my college, like intranets. And it was the first time I had to download files not that way. Right. And then like Kazaa and Morpheus and whatever else, LimeWire, weren't around anymore. It was like, how do I do this? So I feel like I was just looking up, like, was Daft Piff around back then?
Yeah, it was actually. It was pretty popular too.
I think that might have been it.
And I think it was tour, because I remember, download so many Lil Wayne albums. And but yes, it was. And I honestly can't even remember how I was finding these songs. I think there was a website actually. It may have been like a website similar to Kanye to the website, but that's how I was getting all my releases every Friday, was through that, downloaded to my, you know, my little listener, whatever it's called. I didn't have an iPod. I had something else like Creative Zen or something. And I would download it to that and just make a full album, all these songs. Some were like some throwaways for sure, but for the most part, I think it was a great segue into the album itself.
Yeah.
And giving you an example of like, all right, so these are some things I've been working with artist-wise that you should be familiar with that are going to be on the album.
Very much so. Like setting a tone, like getting that. There was a whole like vibe. I think that was a thing that's like stay consistent too, is just like understanding that every album kind of has this vibe leading up to its release, around its release. And you kind of get swept up in that. Like the same kind of thing happened with The Life of Pablo.
Yep.
Yay and Kids See Ghosts. Jesus Is King. Donda.
Yeah, there's definitely a pattern there. There's a huge pattern.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard the album just being like Ohio winter, windows down, because you couldn't listen to that in the car with the windows up. It's like 22 degrees and just like screaming out so appalled lyrics. But what was it like? What was your reaction when you first heard the album? Or do you remember how you felt about the album when it first came out?
I love the production of it. I remember loving how large and I guess expensive the production was.
Yeah.
And how it really, you could just tell and hear the story from itself. It just blew me. It just blew me away, because like, whoa, what is this? Because I never heard something like that before in terms of how it was done.
Mm-mm. I was so used to the like pop and rock song structure. I mean, even like radio rap structure as well. That all of these songs on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy being like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 9 minutes.
Yeah, these scores of music, huh?
Yeah, it just blew my mind. I remember listening to Blame Game with headphones on for the first time.
When the piano starts.
Yeah, and the way the voice kicks around in the headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Just still to this day, one of my favorite music moments, because I never had fancy headphones to listen to things. I didn't know that was a thing that happened. That's the first song I ever heard where the music jumped around. It was just such a cool thing to me.
I'm really big into like audio, I guess I'm an audiophile, but I never realized that either of what that sounds like in headphones or, you know, in your car, especially. It's a totally different sound when you listen to it in your car. That's one of the tests that I do. And I remember that being one of like the big tests of like, let's see how this album sounds if I'm driving, and immediately like a surround sound movie theater.
Man, if only that was a thing. There were just movie theaters that you could play albums and just sit in the surround sound of the movie that theater.
Be amazing, man.
Why is could it that? Yeah.
Honestly, that's something to think about. That's something to think about in terms of a good money making idea that we should keep to the side.
Right.
Yeah.
Gonna tell Travis to cut this out of the episode.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But I do think that's one of the things in Austin that I don't get to do quite as much, is like drive around with the windows down, like music up, and get to like, I'm gonna have to drive somewhere like much further. Like Ohio, when I was growing up in Ohio, everything was like 20 to 40 minutes for a drive.
Yeah.
And here, I mean, you sit in traffic for long periods, but I also don't always want like the windows down because of the heat or what have you. And like driving around for, it's mostly like 10-minute trips. I don't get the same like in-car album experiences that I used to get.
And it kind of sucks, but you know, it's a good place to do that up in like the Bee Cave, Westlake area, because you have all that road to really sit back and listen.
It's true. Just go back and forth along Bee Caves to like Pennybacker.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite Kanye song to, or album to bump in the car?
You know, it's been between Donda and Late Registration.
Oh yeah.
It's been between those two. I haven't listened to Yeezus yet in the car for some reason. I think I like certain albums for certain things and don't want to really mix them. Like, I'll listen to Yeezus a lot in the gym, because if I listen to it in the car, then I'm kind of like, I'm training my brain like, hey, you know, you gotta get hyped up now.
Right. I get that.
Yeah.
I had albums that I'd study. I'd pick an album for each class and I'd study to that album whenever I was actually studying for a test. And then when I was like taking the test, I'd sing the songs from that album to kind of like recall information. But it made like listening to the album in other areas like, nah, can't spoil it. This is like a psychology album. This is a English 202 album, whatever classes I was in at the time. But Yeezus is like a workout album. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly what I use it for. I mean, I listen to some of the other songs otherwise, but. When it comes to a good workout song in total, Yeezus is definitely it. What did you think about the movie that kind of accompanied this album? Runaway was
to me,
I really love Runaway, and kind of thought it was a perfect, like a big ass music video for this album in a sense.
1,000%. And if this was on video, you would have seen me have this look over my face, because I realized I've done like 4 or 5 of these interviews now and haven't asked anybody about the Runaway movie.
Yeah, that's the one thing I always think about when I think about the album, is how I was so amped to watch this movie, and I forgot how I watched it. But yeah, just watching it through and be like, this is so great. So that's why every time I hear certain songs, especially like obviously, if I hear Runaway, that's the first thing I think about is the movie itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other songs too. Like you start listening to Dark Fantasy when it starts up. That's the only thing I can think about with kind of driving through like the wooded, you know, windy road.
Yeah. Giving that fairy tale, like dark fairy tale vibe to it, going through the woods. And
yeah,
actually, that was something that Travis and I were talking about. The fact that the movie version starts with Mozart's Requiem, the Lacrimosa stuff. Mm-hmm. And would that have been cool to be on the album? Like, because we feel like it works so well in the movie. Would it have worked as an intro for the album to still have that like epic Mozart music before heading into Dark Fantasy?
I mean, I'm not too sure, just because I think the visual also helps with that as well. Yeah. And if you're just hearing it without really having an idea what this whole album is about, I feel like it's a little bit of a throw off.
I didn't see the movie for the first time until 2013. It took me like 3 years really. I don't know. I don't even think I knew it existed. I think that was it. Cause I remember Travis asking me about it. He's like, what do you think of the movie? I was like, movie? He's like, all right, we're watching this thing right now. Cause we were both living in Iowa at the time, and went over to his place and watched it. And we're like, whoa, can we watch it again? And we just watched it like three times in a row.
It goes by so quick.
I think it's just like 26 minutes or like 30 minutes. Like,
yeah, it's not very long at all, but man, you know.
I know. I feel like it improved for me over time. I think the first like few times I watched it, I was like puzzled and wasn't sure. I was like, it's cool. It has cool moments, but I'm not sure like start to finish how I feel. And then now I'm just fully like, this is an amazing thing. Everybody should know about it. Everybody should be talking about it.
I feel like it doesn't really come up. You know, some things circulate back around, especially on Twitter, like these past projects. I feel like Runaway is one of the things that people really don't even go and talk about.
Mm-mm. Like some of the scenes I feel like get used a lot in terms of like GIFs, memes. Like you might see him on the little, oh my God, is it the NPC machine? When he's in that glass house, kind of playing the beat,
with the shirt undone and all that. Yeah,
you see like that GIF. I feel like a decent amount, or like the Runaway portion, the dinner portion. But yeah, it doesn't get talked about the way it should.
Yeah, it's unfortunate though, because I feel like it was one of Kanye's big projects that kind of gave way for what rappers were doing. And of course, in typical Kanye fashion, I feel like for him to do this in a way that kind of not only personified the album, and you see other people have done the same thing, kind of. Beyonce definitely had a full visual movie, basically, set to her whole album to follow along with. So you kind of get a good double dipping of listening first, then when the video, the movie drops that accompanies the whole album. Now you're getting a full different type of experience on the release of a music video now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like if he were to drop that, like if that album came out now today, or had like the internet, what the internet is today back then, rather than being ahead of the curve, like you see all the praise that Tyler, the Creator, got for the, why am I blanking on the last album? So many letters are popping into my brain, but the actual name of the album isn't. But Call Me If You Get Lost.
Yeah.
All the visuals for that, people were like losing their minds over, talking about the mini movie aspects. And it's just like, yeah, should we talk about Runaway? Should we talk about Runaway?
Yeah, that is a very good point, which I did like the Tyler, the Creator album as well. The visuals, though, I was like, this is pretty much in line with what I would expect from Tyler.
Yeah, very much fashion oriented, some like goofiness, but also artsy to it.
Right. It's a bit disorienting. What exactly am I watching? That type of feeling is what I get with him.
Yeah. I think that is in line with some of Runaway too. Like, you watch some of that movie and you see the girl talking to the deer. There's some degrees of artifice or cheesiness at times that's also artsy and interesting, kind of like the Bound 2 music video.
Agreed. Yeah. Where it's kind of very self-aware.
Yeah.
Is what I call it. Very self-aware type stuff.
Wait, have you seen the music video for the We Were Once a Fairy Tale short film?
No, I don't think I have.
Wait, what's the song? It's not See You in My Nightmares. We Were Once a... No, that is See You in My Nightmares, isn't it? They did an 11-minute short film, Ye and Spike Jonze, for that song. And it's Ye in the club and having a breakdown.
I've never seen this before.
I think I love it even more than Runaway. And it's very haunting, strange. The ending is kind of wild. Oh yeah. It's on Vimeo. That's where the best version of it is.
And this is for See You in My Nightmares?
Yeah, it uses that song, but it's called We Were Once a Fairy Tale.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'm surprised I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I'll have to send you a link when we're done. And
please do, because now I'm very intrigued by it.
It's cool. I am kind of obsessed with it, to the point where I kind of just want to do a podcast where we interview people that worked on it.
Okay. Yeah. Is it something that I've seen gifs of, or you know what I'm saying?
I don't think so. The visuals of it aren't all over the place. It's kind of hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite as discoverable or as gif-able as the Runaway movie is. And the Runaway movie is already not as talked about as you'd expect.
Yeah.
So imagine something with 1% of the Runaway interest.
I got you.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so
I need to watch that very soon, actually.
What is your favorite segment of the Runaway movie? Is it the opening Phoenix crash?
Time at the house. When they're all sitting at that dinner table.
Yeah.
And I like the way that whole scene is kind of shot and composed. And it's that long tracking of the camera. And what I can only assume is just a big hangar where they film this stuff. an abandoned, that's how I visualize, just an abandoned hangar. I'm not too sure.
It feels like a warehouse, like the Atlanta warehouse he was in a couple of years back. Kind of feel like this sense of empty space that they paint. Throw some green paints and go to town.
They definitely tried to spruce it up, and I get saving money and all that. But I was like, this is an interesting choice, but whatever, it works.
a little janky.
Yeah,
but that scene really does have the feeling of something climactic to it. The other scenes are interesting scenes, but the way that sequence is from the arrival, the dinner, to the Runaway performance, you just get this sense of they're flexing with this one.
Yeah, other scenes feel real empty, and I don't know, there's something lacking from it.
Yeah.
So
well, then the album itself, do you have a top three on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Top three. Well, for sure, Devil in a New Dress is number one. That used to be the solo breakdown in that song used to be my ringtone.
Nice.
We got Devil in a New Dress at number one for me. I really like Lost in the World.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead. Actually, yeah, I'm gonna do Lost in the World is number two for me. And, man, that's a hard one. It's honestly the third one. The third one would have to be Dark Fantasy.
It's a great opener.
Yeah, that would be the top three. The number four, of course, would be All of the Lights.
Ooh, yeah.
All of the Lights, and then everything else kind of falls in there. I do like Blame Game, but I don't really care for it too much outside of the chorus. No, that's a lie, actually. I like the whole song, but I think for me it didn't rank that high just because, I don't know, the chorus was really like the sweet cherry part of the whole thing.
I get
John Legend's great anyways, so
it's like I always rank So Appalled at the bottom. It's like I love So Appalled, so many moments like during it, but it also has the least amount of Kanye. So
that's true.
When I'm putting things at the bottom, that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But people never like to hear it.
Monster is another good one, but I think Monster is just a, I don't think people listen to Monster for Kanye's lyrics, obviously.
Right, they're in it for like Nicki's portion or
Nicki or Jay-Z.
The list of monsters, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
but
it's
that's
exactly
that's
what
really
you mean.
The only. But if you think about it, man, that's really the only time that everyone knows Nicki's part. Everyone knows either Jay-Z or Rick Ross's part.
Kanye's part kind of gets a little bit, aside from like My Presence is a Present, Kiss My Ass.
Yeah. I'm not saying it gets buried by these other people, but I'm saying kind of gets lost when you compare like what Nicki was going for on that whole album or that whole song, especially with her lyrics. She was really fighting against, you got Jay-Z, Rick Ross, and Kanye that you're going against. It's like, it's kind of hard to make your lyrics stand out.
Yeah, you really gotta rise up and be like, all right, if this is the card, like I am definitely showing up and showing off.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to be the forgettable one.
No, and she definitely made sure she wasn't.
No, that's like a career defining. I mean, that album had so many career defining. Like I was interviewing somebody else and they're like, you know, with Pusha T, like as legendary as he was with Clips, like his section on Runaway was kind of a reintroduction to Pusha T in his like solo career.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. I didn't even think that.
And like the best Rick Ross verse, arguably, is on the album. And
yep. There's a lot that he pulls from people that really you can tell is like their best effort.
Yeah. Oh, there's that whole story with like Pusha T that he kept like making him rewrite the verse over and over again.
Yes. And he couldn't. He was like, no, it's good, but it's not good enough.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
Again. I just like to picture him as the guy in Whiplash.
Constantly. Again.
Not my tempo. Well, unless there's anything else, I think we're at the last call where you are free to say, talk about anything that you want to, uninterrupted. Thank you very much for joining us and enjoy your last call.
Yeah. Well, obviously, if this is your first time hearing me, listening to me, I'm Absolute Ricky Starks, professional wrestler for All Elite Wrestling. You can find us on Wednesdays and Fridays, on TBS and TNT. Obviously, I'm a huge Kanye West fan. I'm telling you this now, though. My goal is to get the right to play Touch the Sky at least once for one of my matches. That's the goal. I'm putting it out there. I'm manifesting this to happen. And, you know, honestly, that's what I want. That's what I want out of this whole thing. So I think the day that I get that, I'm pretty much going to set Twitter on fire.
They ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses to the sky. Yeah.